right.
That Andy, that's the remix, isn't it?
That's the techno version of The Rainmakers, The Wages of Sin.
Yes, sir.
And CDs do that sometimes, and I'm sorry, but I have to blame. The buck stops down the chain of command. It doesn't stop at the top.
Wasn't it Harry Truman that originally coined that phrase? Apparently he had a plaque on his desk.
He didn't coin the phrase, I don't think, but he did have a plaque on his desk.
Right.
And speaking of coining phrases, do you know that this is the date that is attributed to Abraham Lincoln in, I think it was in the Stephen Douglas, Stephen Douglas Abraham Lincoln debates in 1858. Lincoln is credited with this day. It's not actually clear he actually said it, but he's credited with having said, you can fool some of the people some of the time. I'm sorry, you can fool some of the people all of the time. You can fool all of the people some of the time, but you can't fool all of the people all of the time.
Okay.
And that was today, according to the records. Now, there's some controversy whether he actually said it. It's not completely documented, but this is the traditional day it's supposed that he said it. And, of course, that's a very famous phrase now in politics and otherwise, and it's something that I think George Bush is learning about during his second term. So, let's see, where are we? So let's go on to, well, before we get to Mary Landrieu, let's deal with Fox News. So this is interesting because what this clip coming up is about is, let me give you a little bit of the history here. The conservative blogs made the case a week and a half ago that the mayor of New Orleans did not order a mandatory evacuation until President Bush pleaded with him to do so. So they want to give Bush credit with kicking the mayor into gear. Well, what actually happened was that the mayor had planned a press conference with the governor, and they were calling for an evacuation of New Orleans. This was on August 28th, right, a couple days before the hurricane hit, and 2 days before it made landfall, I guess is the way to say it. And Bush called that morning, right before the press conference, and when he was asked about it, he said, yeah, the president asked me to call for an evacuation. Well, they were already planning an evacuation. It's a common strategy. They'd already been in touch with FEMA about it. So everybody was in agreement they were going to call for an evacuation. What was interesting was that then the conservative blogs who heard the mayor say, I talked to the president this morning, and he suggested an evacuation. Well, this was just, you know, in the minutes or hours right before the press conference, which was already called, to call for the evacuation. But the conservative blog spun it that Bush pleaded with the mayor to evacuate as though the mayor wasn't planning to evacuate, and that George Bush stepped in and brought some logic and sense to the situation and saved lives. So Fox News picks this up, and that's what we're going to listen to now.
New Orleans local newspaper, the Times-Picayune, says every FEMA official should be fired for their, quote, feeble response to Hurricane Katrina. And the paper's editors say the aftermath is, quote, ultimately the president's failure. But the paper has had nothing but praise for the performance of New Orleans Mayor Ray Nagin, finding no fault with his failure to enforce the mandatory evacuation order he issued last Sunday.
Stop right there. The problem with enforcing a mandatory evacuation order is that it's almost impossible to force people to evacuate. You can tell them, but look, they can't even get them out now, and we got thousands of National Guard troops in the city, and the place is flooded, and they can't seem to get them all out.
Mm-hmm.
But let's go on and let Britt spin this the way Fox News conservatives tend to.
That order was issued only after the director of the National Center, Hurricane Center, called Nagin at home on Saturday night and after President Bush pleaded with the mayor the next day to evacuate New Orleans in a mandatory way.
In times of natural disaster, government is supposed to work from the bottom up. Back when Katrina was a Category 5 hurricane roiling in the Gulf of Mexico, city and county leaders across the Gulf Coast were calling the shots. Mayor Ray Nagin ordered the mandatory evacuation of New Orleans just 24 hours before the hurricane hit, but only after President Bush insisted that he do
so. So Fox News spun it from pleaded. First, they said, Britt Hume said that President Bush pleaded with him to call for the evacuation. Then he said President Bush insisted on an evacuation. And apparently, the evacuation was planned before Bush made the phone call. That's just the way. And I don't mean to just pick on the conservatives here. If we were to look more closely at the statements that the Democrats, the local leaders, are making, I'm sure they're doing self-serving stuff as well. But Fox News, you always know what camp Fox News is in. What's interesting, of course, if you only listen to Fox News, the only thing you know is that it's a good thing the president stepped in because he saved countless lives. Mm-hmm. And that's the story that Fox wanted to spin out of this, and they did a nice job of it. Good job, Fox. So let me move on to Mary Landrieu. Mary Landrieu's a Democratic senator from Louisiana. In fact, if you know anything about the history, in 2004, her case wasn't settled until a runoff election, and the Bush administration did everything they could to defeat her, much like they did with former Georgia Senator Max Cleland, the guy that lost three limbs in Vietnam, and the Republicans painted him as a traitor, essentially, because he didn't vote for the Homeland Security bill immediately. Because all Democrats were holding out because Bush wanted to strip these federal employees that he wanted to move into this one organization. He wanted to strip of some of their collective bargaining rights they had traditionally had, claiming that, like with the military, he's got to be able to respond quickly and move people around. Mm-hmm. Now, what's interesting, if you think about that, is that the argument is, I got to be able to respond quickly in an emergency. And so he has that right now. He fought for that right. He used it against Democrats in the 2004 election. Actually, the 2002 election was when Max Cleland got beat, I believe, because that's when they were fighting over the Department of Homeland Security. No, the Democrats proposed it. Bush was against it. Then when the tide of public opinion turned, he came out for it. And by the time of the election, he was beating the Democrats over it with a club because Republicans wanted to take away collective bargaining rights from a big sector of government employees being moved into Homeland Security. And the Democrats said, no, labor is one of our constituents, and they have a right. They have certain rights now, and you're not going to take them away. So the bill was stalled, and the Republicans used that during the election. Well, it's interesting. They got what they wanted, which was the ability to move people quickly. And by that, I mean not in an emergency as much as move people around in a bureaucracy so you don't have a lot of litigation or a lot of negotiations with the union representatives, that kind of thing. In any case, Mary Landrieu has no love lost for George W. Bush because although she does vote with Bush a reasonable amount of time, that is, she is a relatively conservative Democratic senator, he targeted her. Even though she voted with him on the war, voted with him on the $87 billion, and not after she voted against it. She never voted against it. Mm-hmm. And rather than reward her by staying out of the race, he jumped into the race and tried to say, I got to have somebody better than her. So she doesn't particularly care for Bush. That's setting the background here. She sent out a press release on, last Saturday, the 3rd of September. Quote, but perhaps the greatest disappointment stands at the breached 17th Street levee. Touring this critical site yesterday with the president, I saw what I believe to be a real and significant effort to get a handle on a major cause of this catastrophe, that is, dealing with the levee. Flying over this critical spot again this morning, less than 24 hours later, it became apparent that yesterday we witnessed a hastily prepared stage set for a presidential photo opportunity. And the desperately needed resources we saw were this morning reduced to a single, lonely piece of equipment. The good and decent people of southeastern Louisiana and the Gulf Coast, black and white, rich and poor, young and old, deserve far better from their national government. I thought that was very interesting, and I haven't seen much reporting on this, but basically what she's saying was the president came down, I shook hands with him, we went to the 17th Street levee where it was breached, they had all this equipment there for the photo op. The next day they moved most of it away. Now, I don't know the background of this. Maybe they'd fixed most of that breach and they needed the equipment elsewhere and the Army Corps of Engineers made the decision. But she's claiming that they brought equipment together so the president looked good. And the next day when she flew over the same area, they'd move most of it away.
That is interesting.
I don't know if it's true or not.
That might just be coincidence, though.
Anything is possible. But you know me, I'm suspicious of Bush because fool me once, shame on. There's an old saying in Virginia. I think it's in Virginia. I know it's in New York. Fool me once, shame on.
Something
Cheney.
Like that.
Fool me twice, shame on. We can't get fooled again, Roger Daltrey.
I thought it was a saying from Tennessee.
Yeah, no, I changed the states.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, his original quote is, there's an old saying in Tennessee, in Texas. I think it's in Texas. I know it's in Tennessee. The guy got it backwards, but so did he. So anyway, that was Mary Landrieu. Now, I already, we're up to the end of our coverage of Hurricane Katrina, thank goodness, and this is the Bush, quote, face-off. So it turns out that President Bush had quite a bit to do with some of this, and he had several quotes worth talking about. Oh, I do have one more thing before I go on to this. Actually, I guess I'll do the Bush quotes, and we may come back to Katrina. We may come back to press coverage. Okay, so I'll save the rest of the press
There's
coverage.
There's an old saying in Tennessee.
Finally, we got it.
Probably in Tennessee that says, fool me once, shame on you. If fool me, we can't get fooled again.
No, we cannot.
No, we cannot.
So, how are we doing on time?
We're doing good. We have about 1 minute left.
Thank you. So I won't get through all of these, but the president, first of all, at his sensitive best, talked about one of his personal friends. So here he is in Mississippi trying to console people that have lost everything. And he said, quote, the good news is that out of this chaos is going to come a fantastic Gulf Coast like it was before. Out of the rubble of Trent Lott's house, he's lost his entire house, there's going to be a fantastic house, and I'm looking forward to sitting on the porch.
That makes me feel all warm and fuzzy inside.
Yeah, he's saying, don't worry, America, we are going to rebuild Trent Lott's house. I mean, that's just so stupid politically. He usually has much better antennae for this stuff. Ultimately, what he's saying is that this leader, this Republican leader who's a multimillionaire, and by the way, who has another house, he wasn't even in his house when it got flattened. He had a nice place apparently right on the Gulf, right on the shore. They got totally destroyed. But he has a nice place in Washington, D.C. that he stays in. And so Trent Lott is inconvenienced, but Trent Lott is not at the Houston Astrodome.
No, it's not.
And so it just was stupid of Bush to make a statement like that, because people interpret it as, oh, I see. So you're worried about Trent Lott rebuilding, are you? He was just trying to make a personal connection, and wrong idea. So when we come back, I've got three more quotes from George W. Bush, and then, Mike, I'm going to ask you to vote for which one is the dumbest thing, which hurt him the most in the last 2 weeks.